I was really hoping we'd have a new minister by then. And we came so close. I was like, bummer. Anyway, you'll have to hear from me. But don't worry, 3 months usually goes by pretty fast. So we should be good. Of course, this will be just the one time, hopefully. So for visitors, definitely not the new minister. I want to thank Charlie Yana, who helped me put this PowerPoint together. And you're going to really like it. It's a real fancy one with lots of good movement on there. And he's teaching me how to do PowerPoint for the future. So we thank him for that. And I kind of want to just thank the guys who came up today for the beautiful prayer of Bill's. And I want to thank Nathaniel for his prayer on the blood. Young man, he does a very good job. He's a very good fella. You're going to be all right, so stay with it. So I appreciate that. And people in our church are really good about speaking from the heart, and that's good. So this lesson, I'm going to try to speak from the heart as well. So the topic, as you can see up there, is the Christian and addiction. So I would like to talk about that today. I think it's an important topic in the society we live in. Addiction's always been around, but lately it's expanded into a lot of different areas that people get caught up in. And when you get caught up in an addiction, it's very you're in trouble. It's very difficult to break out of that. But that's what I want to talk about today. I mean, we don't want to keep it in secret. We don't want to not talk about it. We want to expose it. You want to make people aware. Awareness is really the key to understanding addiction and where the Christian fits in to that. And we'll talk about that a little bit. Because you're a Christian, you're not removed. You know, you're not not a part of this. It could happen to you. So I want to talk about that. So some of it is a little negative, maybe. It's not pretty. But then I have some hope for the addict or for families of people who are dealing with addiction. And we'll talk about that a little bit. So, and it won't be too long, so don't worry. Why am I speaking about the Christian and addiction? Who am I to speak about that? Well, I'm not a therapist, so I can put that out there for you. But I do have a bachelor's degree in psychology from Messiah College, and there I did try to. When you're going for a degree, you're doing different classes and there's different areas that you can go into. I had a couple of things I was interested in, and one was addiction. And the other was going to sound weird, but I liked it, is personality disorders. I found that to be fascinating, so I did a lot of research on that and stuff. And then after I graduated, I realized that really my passion wasn't either one of those things, but it was the elderly and working with the elderly, which is what I've done in my career for the last 20 years. So that's a little bit about me as far as that goes. Also, as far as addiction goes, I'm also speaking to you because I'm one that's experienced some addictions in my life that I've had to deal with. And in my family, we've had addiction in our family as well that we've all had to deal with and struggle with. And it's difficult. That's the second reason I'm doing this lesson. The third one is I'm a Christian. That's the main one. That's why I'm doing this lesson today. I'm a Christian. I believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, and I'm here to, as a Christian, to see what I can do to help in this situation. So that's who I am and why I'm speaking about it. The third thing is the purpose. So the purpose of this lesson is going to be is awareness, to make us all aware of addiction. And the fact that Christians can be involved in that, and it's difficult. So I want to draw attention to this issue. I want to make you aware that is a big problem that expands this room with families, friends, neighbors, yourself, whoever. It's out there. And then finally, in this lesson, I want to offer support for the addict or the person that may be addicted. So that's what this is about today, this morning. So let's read part of that scripture reading by Roland. I just want to read the first two verses of that. Galatians 6, 1 through 2. Brothers, if a man is overtaken in a fault, you, the spiritual ones, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so you will fulfill the law of Christ. An addiction is a burden. It really is. It's a burden that nobody should bear alone. Nobody. Especially people who are in the church. Any church, this church or any of them. You should not go through this alone. That's the first thing. We are all in this thing together. Right?
Yes.
Yes, we are in this together. If one goes down with the ship, we all go down with the ship. That should be our attitude as Christians and as members of this congregation here. Jesus is willing to go with you into deep, dark, scary places and pull you up out of there. He's willing to do that. How do I know he's willing to do that? Psalms 23:4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Psalms 23:4 is a comforting verse for those experiencing an addiction. When they lay down at night to go to sleep, many will cite this verse to help them get through it, knowing that Jesus is with them. He's not going to leave you, push you down in there and stay back and wait for you to come up. He will go down and get you and bring you back up. That's the kind of Savior that we have. That's what Jesus is like. He's a man of mercy. He's a man of mercy and of compassion. He doesn't want anybody to suffer. So being a Christian does not exclude you, that was the word I was looking for earlier, from being tempted, right? Or making bad mistakes. There's lots of people who are Christians who have made some really bad mistakes in life. All of us probably have. It happens to the best of us. It's how you deal with it that changes your outlook on it. It's the struggle, leaning on God and others, that makes you stronger. The struggle is hard, but you are a fighter and will not give up. That's the attitude of a Christian struggling with addiction. Okay? So, what is an addiction? Webster's Dictionary says, that's my favorite dictionary, by the way, to devote or surrender oneself to something habitually or obsessively. So it's something that is habit-forming. So you may have had a problem and you dealt with it a certain way. Maybe you had a bad day at work or something and you went to a bar and you had something to drink and you felt better later for a while. And so the next time around, you thought, yeah, you know, that worked. I'll do that again. You do it again. And then it turns into a habit. You habitually do that to deal with something. Or obsessively. Some people, like gambling, would be an obsession. You do it once. You made a little bit of money. Hey, that was pretty cool. I made $500 the first time out. You go back again. Maybe you don't do so good the next time, but you still kind of liked it, and you still think about it all day. You can't wait to go out and try to make that money again. You become obsessed with it. That's what an addiction is. So we can see how that could happen to us. There are about 25 addictions out there under these three categories. The first one is substance abuse. That would be alcohol, tobacco, opioids, recreational drugs, anything that's like that. The next category would be impulse control disorders. That would be like gambling, that kind of thing, where you just can't help yourself. You want it, you do it. And the third one is behavioral, which is one that most Christians, well, we all deal with all these, so I'll say that. That would be like food or sex or pornography or shopping. Those are all behaviors that you've learned, that you've used to deal with in your, to deal with in life. And those are all things that are not good to do. So, who are the addicts? As Doug would say, yes. Can be anybody. Addiction is no respecter of persons. Doesn't care who you are, where you're from. It has no prejudice whatsoever. And it can happen to anyone, regardless of anything, any reason. There's no reason that I can say that would not, would exclude you from possibly becoming addicted. But you know what? Here's the good part about that. Who are the addicts? Addicts have good hearts. They're good people. They're hard workers. They're sensitive, caring, and loving. That's why we need to reach out to these people, because they're not evil people. They're good people. So those are who the addicts are. Now for the bad news. But we need to face this as we deal with addiction. Addiction is sinful. I wish I could say it is not. I really do. It'd be great to say that if you're addicted to something, don't worry about it. Just, we understand you can't help yourself, and you just go ahead and you'll be fine. I wish we could say that. But as a Christian, I cannot say that. And the Christian must try to overcome. So we can't just let it slide. We can't just brush it under the carpet. It has to be dealt with, because it is sinful. A Christian must overcome. James 1, 12 through 15. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, because having been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one being tempted say, I am tempted from God. For God is not tempted by evils, and he tempts no one. But each one is tempted by his lusts, being drawn away and seduced by them. Then, when lust has conceived, it brings forth sin. And sin, when it is fully formed, brings forth death. Romans 8, 5 through 8. For they who are according to the flesh mind the things of the flesh, but they who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. So then, they who are in the flesh cannot please God. Colossians 3, 5 through 7. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desires, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because on account of these things, the wrath of God is coming on the sons of disobedience, among whom you also once walked when you lived in these. So we see that addiction is a sin, and it's something that has to be dealt with. That's the bad news. But here's the good news for that. Support, there is support for the addict in Christianity. That's the good news. Nobody will have to go through this alone. The addict needs support in order to deal with the addiction. There is no other way around it. You cannot do it, and a person who's addicted cannot do it by himself. It's rare. I mean, maybe you could have one day wake up and say, I'm not going to do it anymore, and really do it. But that would be very rare for that. The first place to start for support is prayer. That's the first. You don't know where to start, you start with prayer. Prayer to God, from you to God, and prayer from his brothers and sisters in Christ on behalf of the person. Those two things together, combined together, are powerful. They're powerful and can help support the addict and help that person. So the first thing is to ask God to help you. Sometimes it's as simple as that. Just ask him. You believe in God, you're a Christian, you know God loves you, just ask him. Ask God to help. Matthew 7, 7 through 8. Ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. For each one who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it shall be opened. John 14, 13. And whatever you may ask in my name, that I will do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Ask others to pray for you. James 5:15-20. And the prayer of faith will cure the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he has committed sins, it will be forgiven him. Confess faults to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous one avails much. Elijah was a man of like passion as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it did not rain on the earth for the time of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth caused its fruit to sprout. Brothers, if any among you err from the truth, and if anyone turns him back, know that he who turns back from the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. Support comes from God, directly from God, and from each other in the form of prayer. So keep that in mind. One second here. Other forms of support for the Christian, for the addict. This one is seek professional counseling. There's nothing wrong with that. There are Christian counselors out there. You do have to be careful, you know, that you're going to one that believes basically what you do. But you want to seek professional counseling. We can help you with prayer. You can pray to God and we can help you. But you really need to talk to somebody that's trained that can help you with that. There's nothing wrong with that at all. In fact, it's good. The next thing we can do to help somebody as a Christian in addiction is we can start a support team. We've never really done that here too much. We had Darren Crowden. We all know Darren and remember him. When he left, you know, he left a void there. And we don't have him anymore here in our building. We need to create one, maybe. So what I'm saying is, if you're interested, we can start a support team here for you. So if you're interested in that, talk to me in the future, however you want to do it. Call me or after some other time, and we can think about that. And what I would envision is getting together once a month, praying for each other, and maybe confessing things that are going on in your life. You'll be surprised how much better your life will be doing that. So we can support each other. We could start one if it's something that you need to do. There is hope for the addict. How about the healing power of Jesus?
Yes, sir.
Do we really believe that? Do we really believe that Jesus can affect us in our life in some way that will give us the strength that we need, that he has something about him, something about reaching out to Jesus that's going to help us. It's going to pull us through our addiction. I do. I believe it. I believe it. Mark 1:40-41. And a leper came to him, begging him and kneeling down to him and saying to him, if you will, you can make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put out his hand and touched him and said to him, I will be clean. Jesus was willing. He is willing. Hebrews 4:14-16. Since then we have a great high priest who has passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God. Let us hold fast our profession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted just as we are, yet without sin. Therefore let us come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So there is strength, there is power in Jesus. Jesus can help you if you reach out to him. He wants you to reach out to him. He's lived a life on the earth. He knows. He didn't forget everything he lived when he lived. He knows what you're going through. He does, and he's there for you. He's still around. He's still alive today. Secondly, God cares for you. 1 Peter 5:6-7. Therefore, be humbled under the mighty hand of God, so that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your anxiety onto him, for he cares for you. God cares for you. God values you. Luke 15:17-24 is a portion of the prodigal son. Here we get a really good idea of who God the Father is and what he's like, and it really helps for the addict to know these things. And when he came to himself, he said, that is the son, how many hired servants of my father abound in loaves, and I perish with hunger? I will rise and go to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no more worthy to be called your son. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion, ran and fell on his neck and said, and the son said, Father, I have sinned against you. I'm no more worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring him the best robe, put it on him. Put a ring in his hand, shoes on his feet. Bring the fattened calf. Let's kill it and eat it. Eat and be merry. My son was dead and is alive again. He was lost, but is found. And they began to be happy. That is the kind of father we have. He's not thinking, when you come to him, he's not going, oh boy, here he comes, you know. How many times is Russell going to come to me with this problem? No. He has open arms. Come to me. That's the God that we have. God values you. All right, we're getting near the end here. Secrets. Most addictions are kept in secret. And obviously there's a reason for that. Who wants to stand up and announce to the whole world that they have a problem with addiction, with some form of an addiction? Nobody wants to do that. So it's kept in secret, which is not good. We don't want to keep it in secret. That's why I'm doing this lesson this morning, to put it out there. Don't keep it in secret. You don't have to tell the whole world, but you can tell somebody in here and we can help you. So addictions are kept in secret. We all have secrets, but it is no secret. Next slide. It is no secret what God can do. How about it? Right? Is that a secret? Nobody knows that God has, as a Christian, that God has power to do things, that God cares, that God loves you, that you can turn to him. We all know that. We know that. We know what God can do and what he's done in our life. So, I would like to sing you this song here. And I didn't put the music up on purpose because I don't want it to get in the way of the words. And if you know it, you can sing along with me from the audience if you want. If not, I'll just sing it to you. Because this is a song, you know, for those who are addicted, that they can sing and will help them deal with it some more. And then after this, we'll offer an invitation. The chimes of time ring out the news. Another day is through. Someone slipped and fell. Was that someone you? You may have longed for added strength, for courage to renew. Do not be disheartened, for I have news for you. It is no secret what God can do. What he's done for others, he'll do for you. With arms wide open, he'll pardon you. It is no secret what God can do. There is no night, for in his light you'll never walk alone. Always feel at home, wherever you may roam. There is no power can conquer you, while God is on your side. Just take him at his promise, don't run away and hide. It is no secret what God can do. What he's done for others, He'll do for you. With arms wide open, He'll pardon you. It is no secret what God can do. It's no secret what God can do. God can help you. If you have a problem with addiction, if you know somebody who does, if you have a family member, a coworker, it doesn't matter who it is. Bring them here.
Yes, sir.
Bring them to our congregation. Be like the father that you read in the prodigal son. Put your arms around them. Bring them into the fold. We will pray for them. We will help them. We will support them in any way we can. We are in this thing together.
Yes,
sir. So if there are any needs at all, you can come, either come up front or go back and talk to the elders or whatever you want to do to respond as we stand and sing this invitation song.